105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge 105.
It's time to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Dr. Lynn Morgan. She's the CEO with the Arthur Rank Hospice, and she is in the studio with us now. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you very much for coming in. So, a stopping question, actually, something I probably really should know the answer to, but I know you will. Who was Arthur Rank?
Arthur Rank was the person you associate with the flour mills, etc., also the films. Interestingly,
he same guy.
Same guy. Right. He went to the Lees School in Cambridge, which not many people know. And he and his family set up a charitable foundation.
Because it was the Arthur Rank films with the guy with the gong, wasn't
that's
it?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So 32 years ago, the Arthur Rank Foundation gave the hospice that was being built at that time 200,000 odd as a grant, and the name has stuck, really.
And so the hospice has been around for all of that time, or a little bit longer?
Yeah, no, it's been around for about 32 years. It was about 32, 35 years ago that Dame Cecily Saunders really promoted hospice care, which was a move very much away from people just being on hospital wards, particularly if they were at the stage of their life where their problems were quite complex, but it was known that no medical intervention or surgical intervention would actually help them.
I kind of get to the stage where somebody just needs looking after, really,
somebody
as much as anything
looking
else.
After, they might, I mean, if they come into the hospice, they've probably got fairly complex medical problems, but actually it's important in a way to sort of have a good death, and that's about making it as nice as it can possibly be, providing the facilities for the families to be with them whenever they want to
be. I guess a lot of people, though, would also want to be in their own homes rather than being away, however nice the hospice is.
Some people will want to be in their own homes, and we run a hospice at home service which currently looks after about 40 patients a month, typically in the last 2 weeks of life, and our nurses or care assistants will stay overnight and look after them. And that's all provided free of charge, mainly charitably funded.
So you're currently based on the Mill Road. Is that where you've been for all of the time of
right.
the place?
Yep, that's right. We've been there for all that time. And certainly when the hospice was built, it was sort of state-of-the-art, and everybody thought, oh, gosh, this is wonderful. But, you know, over the 32 years, we look around, it's too small. The facilities aren't what we would want these days.
It kind of sounds a little bit like my house. My next-door neighbour used to own my house as well as her own. And she told me the story of how in the 1950s, all the picture rails and the fireplaces had come out. Why? Because they wanted the latest modern things to go in.
Yeah,
of course, they've come back again. And I guess the same as for you, you know, really, really nice equipment 30 years ago. So now it's
and
time
and
for renewal.
Things have changed. I mean, if we go on holiday now, you expect to stay, you know, in your own private room with a bathroom and all of that. Why, when you're at the end of life, would you want to, you know, necessarily be on a ward with other people? Some people will want that kind of community feel. So in a new hospice, which I'll talk about in a moment, we will have 2 4-bedded bays, but there'll be 16 private rooms with, or I should say single rooms, with their own ensuite.
So not necessarily just the equipment which needs renewing, it's also a sort of matter of, you know, tinkering around with the layout, to, as
Absolutely.
You say, to fit in with the with I guess the modern trend, as it were.
That's right. People expect a certain level of comfort. Anybody who has come into contact with the Arthur Rank Hospice will tell you that the care is superb. I mean, we have wonderful nursing staff and doctors. And nothing is too much trouble. The number of nurses to patients is very high. So the care is absolutely excellent. But really, they have to work around the facilities not being what they should be.
And I guess, you know, with a lot of experienced people in, they'll be used, they've maybe come from other facilities and think, oh, if only it could be like it was in my last place.
Yeah,
so
that's
right. So it's quite right to modernise things. So there's a consultation going on then
that's
at the
right.
moment to the new site, which is where?
Shelford Bosham, so just opposite the Goggs Golf Club, a nice green leafy site, close to Addenbrookes, but very important that we're not on the Addenbrookes site, because for our patients, there's not going to be an intervention that will sort of make them better. So it's much nicer if people are in a green and leafy site where the care is focused on supporting them for the last few weeks of their life.
Bit of a contrast from the Mill Road, I dare say, as
it
well.
It will be very much a contrast. And if anybody is interested, and I hope that people will be, they can go to our website, www.arthurrankhospicecharity.org.uk, or just Google it. And there's a new hospice page, and there they can, if they scroll down the page, they'll can click on a YouTube piece of film, which will show them what the hospice is going to look like.
Oh,
it's really quite whizzy. And they can also fill in a consultation form saying what they think about it. So we very much encourage people to do that.
And you've only got a couple of days left, really,
That's
before
right.
you sort of close it up, as
That's
it were.
That's right, yeah. So tomorrow and the weekend, and then we'll be closing it down. But we're very interested in people's views. The new hospice will cost us about $10 million. We've raised about $5.25 million, but if we can keep the money coming in, then we'll start building in January.
The one thing I noticed when I was just doing a bit of swatting up before you came in, you pop in Arthur Rank Hospice into the search engine, you know, click on the news section, and there's so many fundraising activities, one after another. It must, regardless of the very important work that you do caring for people, that's a pretty almost full-time job in itself, coordinating all of those.
We need about 1.4, 1.5 million just to pay for the current care. And that's the amount that we as a charity put into the care.
So you need that money on an annual basis?
On an annual basis.
Right.
And then obviously we've also got the added challenge at the moment of the new hospice. I'm fortunate that I've got the most fantastic fundraising team. They work their socks off and they bring in a lot of money, but we always need more money.
Mm. We've certainly noticed, and when we've been out and about at assorted events over the past few months.
Yeah.
So the money is starting to come in?
It's starting to come in, and people are they're either going onto our website and donating, or they are thinking, well, you know, actually I'm thinking about making a will, so they're leaving us a gift in their will, or they are having fundraising events, everything you can think of, walking to John O'Groats, jumping out of aeroplanes, you know, everything. It really is fantastic.
And I'm thinking, if it's work starting in January, you're hoping, is that dependent on having raised a particular an amount by then?
I think we would need to maybe be perhaps $1 million further on, and then we will put sort of a facility in place so that we can perhaps borrow some money to get things going, because if you look at the predictions of how much building costs are going to go up next year, they're going to go up by 8%. So actually, if we don't start building, then we'll probably never get there.
It's funny, there's a story in our news earlier, you may have heard it, that the Cambridge is the place in the country where you put a house on the market, you've sold it 27 days later.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and not knock-on effect on building prices for people, well, building hospices.
Well, that's right, and it's not just domestic properties. You know, we've got so much going on with the university at the moment, so much building work, developments, that, you know, building costs are sky high. But we believe that this facility is really needed, so we're determined to get it going.
So if all's on track, you start building in January, at which point do you then start to take patients into the new facility?
Hopefully June 2016.
Right.
So, and it will be an absolutely beautiful facility. So,
and at that point, we'd be taking on more staff as well, on the caring side at least.
Yes, because we'll be doubling the number of beds, so we will be employing more staff. Yeah.
Okay. Well, best of luck with the fundraising effort. Perhaps come back in a few months' time. Maybe we should probably pop and see that first stone being laid, or however you decide to do it in January. But thank you very much for coming into Cambridge 105. That's Dr. Lynn Morgan, the CEO of the Arthur Rank Hospice here in Cambridge.
The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
4 minutes past 6 o'clock, we start our entertainment hour between now and seven. In a short while's time, we've got film and theatre. Sky Keeble and Hattie Simpson will be in for that. But first, we'll take a look at the unsigned chart, as counted down by Tim last night on the New Music Generator programme. He does that just after 8 o'clock on the Wednesday night. We'll start with the new entry, which might be quite familiar already to some of you. It's Burning Heart from Cab Driver.
The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
this empty suitcase. These feet are so traveled in. This old door keeps me from this world. I have thrown away the key. A heart of hate is a heart that burns. A soul that's lost is a soul that hurts. One more story of the fearless and the brave, the people that you follow and the lives you had to save. A heart of hate is a heart that burns. A soul that's lost is a soul that hurts. Your soul, keep it from falling apart. It's burning, it's burning, it's burning, it's burning, it's burning. So quench my burning heart. Whoa, whoa. My compass has a spinning needle. But I'll find my way home. Don't let me be a stranger. The tide reveals the sand. Sunrise of hope before me. Despair seems far behind. A heart of hate is a heart that burns. A soul that's lost is a soul that hurts. So quench my burning heart, keep it from melting. Heal my tortured soul, keep it from falling apart. It's burning, it's burning, it's burning, it's burning, it's burning. So quench my burning heart.
That's Burning Heart from Cab Driver, the new entry in the unsigned chart this week. It's another track from local songwriter John Knight, also known as Cab 139, who's a regular Cambridge 105 listener and uses his profession as inspiration for his artist name. It's a collaboration with Dutch songwriter Erin de Ruyter and with Matthew Griffith on vocals, and it's produced by Stacey Hogan from Nashville, Tennessee. It's available as part of the Burning Heart EP, which you'll find on iTunes. So that's the new entry this week. Time then, I think, to count down the rest of the chart.
The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
So number five, Toy Sparrows, last week's new entry, I think, Inside My Head. Number four, Venus V, Way to Your Heart. Three is Tom Lumley, Every Day. Number two, The Abstracts, track 13. But at number one, again, it's Ambery Knight and None.
Cambridge's favourite entry this week. This is the Unsigned Chart, number one.
None from Ambury Knight, band from Huntingdon. You might have heard them on with Tim last night on the New Music Generator. If you missed them, go to the website right now, well, after 7 o'clock when I'm done, and you'll be able to listen to the programme in its entirety, including a rather nice acoustic session, which they did as well. So Cambridge105.fm will find you last night's edition of the New Music Generator. That's our wrap on the chart for tonight. What we'll do on Monday, round about this time, is to do the unsigned chart as it stands, as we take a look at the artist positions and catch up with what the latest voting trends are. Meanwhile, it's 14 minutes past 6 o'clock, Cambridge 105, 105 Drive with Julian Clover through until 7 tonight, when it's Sonic Delights who'll be in the chair. Sky and Hattie will be along shortly. They'll be looking at, amongst other things, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Begin Again, and that Transformers movie. And then Hattie will be taking her regular eye on theatre. And we'll do that between now and 7 o'clock as our entertainment hour continues. This is Passenger now. His latest is Hearts on Fire.
On 105 FM and online.
Cambridge 105, 25 minutes past 6 o'clock. Sky and Hattie are here.
Hello.
Hello.
I can hear a noise. I know what's going on. The air conditioning is being
We're
picked
outside.
Up by the microphone.
I'm getting quite a nice blow dry.
Can you all move slightly to the left, please? That would be a lot easier. I'm sure.
Is that better?
Yes, I think so. I'm very pleased. Do you like the new air conditioning and the blinds?
I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. It's lovely. It looks very, very snazzy in here.
It's very good. People will be demanding to take a look at the books. film and theatre, and where are we going to start?
We're going to Begin Again with Begin Again. I stole your joke, I'm sorry.
Okay, it's all right.
A jaded music biz executive bonds with a singer in this poignant romantic comedy from the director of Once.
This is Distressed Records. Your 10 o'clock meeting started 15 minutes ago.
So what are we doing here?
It's not working. You gotta go.
I'm taking my client list.
It's not Jerry Maguire.
I'm taking my art list.
I got to get away from you. Get away.
I'm coming back for that.
I'll tell your mama I lost my job today.
You got money to pay for this?
I'm a kid. I don't have any money on me.
What happened to pocket money?
Well, I spent that on condoms.
No.
A total rock star.
Unbelievable.
We don't want anything to stand in his way.
Capiche?
I'm just tagging along.
Babe, we need to talk.
So, this is a new song for anyone who's ever been alone in the city.
So you find yourself at the subway. You realize it's the end of the line.
I was having a nervous breakdown, and then I heard your song.
I want to make records with you. Come on, let's get out of here.
There we go. Happy ending awaits, no doubt.
Aging out-of-touch music industry veteran Dan, played by Mark Ruffalo, has just been fired and is drowning his sorrows. Meanwhile, shy British expat singer-songwriter Greta, Keira Knightley, is cajoled by her busker pal Steve into performing at an open mic session in the same New York bar. Despite being drunk, Dan recognises a great talent when he hears one and hatches a novel plan to record an album. And you know what? It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I was a bit worried it was going to sort of become quite sort of wishy-washy.
Cheesy.
Yeah, cliched. And it is a little at times, but overall, I think it's a really good summary film. I mean, Mark Ruffalo is superb as always. He's one of the best actors around at the moment and puts in a fantastic performance as the troubled but earnest Dan. Keira Knightley is fairly bland, but that's sort of her thing at the moment.
No, I give her fair credit, considering how good her singing performance and that. I quite enjoy
so
that.
It's actually her singing, not like Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady.
Not like the most wonderful Audrey Hepburn, but... but yeah, I mean, she's all right, but, you know, I think if she was a recording artist, I don't think she'd have the success that she had in this film. Adam Levine from Maroon 5, surprisingly decent as well. I mean, his character is really shallow as well and bland, which I think some reviews are kind of missing the point of. He's been having a bit of a bad rap in a fair amount of the reviews about...
Has he done much acting before?
No, I think
this is his debut, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought he was actually pretty good at what he was doing. Quite dry in places as well. CeeLo Green makes a cameo and is superb. It's very funny. Really good comedy uplift partway through. But I was a bit disappointed with appearances by James Corden and Catherine Keener, who was in Capote being John Malkovich. They were severely underused. They're both brilliant actors.
Are so disappointed by their lack of presence as opposed to not being any good when you did see them?
Yeah, I'm disappointed in the director.
I was surprised by James Corden because I don't really find most of the stuff he's picked that great in his cameos, but in terms of this one, I think he was given some good lines and given some good directions.
He was just not enough. And the same with Hayley Steinfeld, who was the little girl from True Grit, and is a fantastic actress. She's given a subplot and it just doesn't go anywhere. It sort of trails off, which was, again, disappointing that she was underused. I mean, some scenes I felt were cut shorter than necessary. They kind of ran out of steam partway through where they didn't need to, I thought. There's a great scene where they're walking around New York at night with each with a pair of headphones listening to some of their favourite music, which is a great sequence, but just wasn't... It didn't go anywhere, and it didn't sort of complete properly. But I mean, it's full of heart. There's some real good flashes of humour in it. The music in it is sort of, you know, it's all right. I don't think it's anything that sort of, you know, will blow the audience away. But
it works for the characters and the situations
and the film
that make the songs. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It's charming. There's great chemistry between the actors, and it has a really good heart to it. So I would recommend it.
Oh, it's very nice. We've got two more films. Oh, Times.
Yeah, it's on tonight at Cineworld at 7. 7:45 at the Arts Picture House at 9, and at View you might catch the 7 o'clock and the 9:20. And tomorrow at Cineworld, 1:15, 8:45, 11:15. Arts Picture House, 11, 1:30, 9 o'clock, and at View at 11:25, if you fancy a late one.
OK, two more to come, and one of those has a competition attached to it as well.
Yes,
indeed.
Yes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes coming up shortly.
It's 25 before 7 o'clock. We're in the middle of film and theatre with Skye and Hattie. And where are we going next, guys?
We're going to look at Transformers, Age of Extinction. The Autobots and Decepticons are fighting again. This time we've got the Dinobots in tow, and also some human-made ones as well.
There's not many people in this clip. You've got to imagine the guy just sitting in the car. It's like on a on a stakeout. There's not a Transformer in sight.
It's going to sum up my review, I think.
Oh dear, here we go then.
Countdown. You know, at a time like this, the idea is to keep cool, not look cool, so why don't you lose the glasses? About a month ago, middle of the night, I thought I heard noises in my house. Is that you?
What? Come on, no way.
Don't lie to me, kid. You see that guy with the gun out there?
There's so many guys with guns.
I'll just get out of the car and tell them we're about to break in and that's your idea, because I don't care. I'm old. I've already lived long enough.
You have a really bad habit of having these conversations at the wrong time, man.
You want to come clean or you want me to make a mess? Sir, can I talk to you for a second, please?
It was me. I'm sorry.
I'm literally going to kill you.
How much did you enjoy that?
That scene...
Well,
if I start off by saying it is a mangled metal mess, I must admit. I mean, Michael Bay, I think he's one of the few directors can get away with having, you know, virtually a film that has very, very little narrative, but has lots of explosions, lots of actions. I mean, I personally loved it.
One of the few directors, did you say, there, who can get away with it?
They can get away with it, and he makes lots of money. I mean, this has made, like, this has topped the box office charts over the past week or so, and it's just people keep going back to him. It's a big franchise, Transformers. They look great. I say it's a total effects-driven CGI, you know, marathon. And it is a marathon, because if you're not into robots fighting each other, then you're probably not going to see much point, to be honest. There's a lot of plot holes. There's a lot of cliched things. It borrows some from the previous films, but then doesn't capitalise on it. I enjoyed it. I just like the fact that they've got all these extra subplots going on, because they're planning on running for another two extra movies with this. So, you know, I just don't know where they can go with it now, to be honest. I mean, they've made films about toys and they've tagged some sort. I mean, Mark Wahlberg's okay as an action star in it, but, you know, it doesn't add anything else to the film as rest of the other cast. I mean, I really like Stanley Tucci. I mean, he adds a comic element to it. But I say again, the human part is completely not necessary when it comes to the aliens battling it out. So if that's what you like to see, you're going to get your money's worth. If you're not, I mean, it's got 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, so...
Maybe they could do a reverse director's cut, which just has the fight scenes in between
the
pieces of Meccano, who are the Transformers, are they called? Yeah, Transformers.
That's not far off what Michael Bay's films normally are anyway, so...
he gets a lot of flack, but I say, he delivers in terms of popcorn effects first.
I guess if that's what you want, you know, newspapers come under, you know, criticism for being, oh, it's trash, it's rubbish, but, you know, they tend to be the best-selling ones.
You know, and then you get all the cult movies that, it's a really expensive cult movie, but those that go in for, like, you know, the B-movie horrors, you know, the effects are all dodgy.
Or TV series like Breaking Bad, which is apparently a huge success despite the fact nobody's actually seen it.
There you go. So
set a few people off with that.
So if you want to see it, it's on at Cineworld tonight at 7:30 in 3D, or you can see it at 8:20 in 2D, and viewer showing it at 7:15 in 2D and 8:00 in 2D. I only saw the 2D version, so I couldn't really comment on the 3D effects. No doubt they look great, but I say, unless you're going for that, that's, you know, by the by, really. So, yeah, Transformers, Age of Extinction, but not extinct yet.
OK, right, shall we move on to... Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Monkeys.
Ooh. Ape and man embark on a spectacular collision course in the thrilling sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
We don't mean any harm! Go! Okay.
It implies completely different things.
You'd like to say that last bit again, actually, for the benefit of the listener.
I am very confused about the naming of this film. I don't understand why the first one was called Rise of the Planet of the Apes and the second one is called Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
It does seem a bit unnecessary.
It should surely be the other way around.
Well, not necessarily.
I don't feel like the subject matter of each film, you know, would make any difference to if the fact that they, you know, they should swap the names around.
Who's playing Dawn anyway?
I know, it's James Franco in this one. Let's not mention him.
No. So, 10 years have passed since Apes and Men went their separate ways after the Battle of Golden Gate Bridge, which was in the first film. Mankind has been all but wiped out by the simian flu. Caesar, meanwhile, leads an evolving, peaceful ape society in the depths of San Francisco's Mirwood. When a band of human survivors stumble across the ape village, Malcolm and Ellie are eager to promote peace between these former enemies, but they reckon without hot-headed survivalist Dreyfus, who leads an army of soldiers and is hell-bent on revenge. It's directed by Matt Reeves, who did Cloverfield, he's most well-known for, and this is obviously a sequel. It kind of touched on the end of the Rise of the Planet Apes, it touches on what's going to happen, and this is the end result. You know, I've not really watched the originals, but the first one was a great film. It felt real. It was a human story and an ape story with the human and.
Oh, when you say originals, do you mean sort of late 1960s
Charlton
originals?
Heston right. And all that. No, I've not feel. I mean, I watched the Tim Burton one. Yeah, that had Mark Wahlberg in it as well. But
it's a TV series as well, briefly, Roddy McDowall played one of the friendly ape who is with the with the humans.
So again, it's like another. It's a big franchise. It's had a long history. So this one's going to try and attract new viewers as well as, you know, encouraging the olds to revisit. So it looks exciting, to be honest. We've yet to see it yet.
It's a good cast as well with Jason Clarke, who we saw in Zero Dark Thirty. It's brilliant in that. And then also in White House Down, which was not so good. and Gary Oldman as well, who is, you know, the legend that he is.
I think White House Down was on television a few nights ago, is that right?
It possibly was.
And we can't, obviously, go without mentioning Andy Serkis, you know, the mocap maestro, as he is.
That title.
Yeah, because he is he's leading in terms of acting with digital art, and
he's a pioneer in his field. He is quite spectacular.
Yeah, they should definitely put him up for Oscars and stuff.
Well,
there we are then. So,
despite an uncertainty about the movie, you still think that within it, Serkis's performance is wanting of an Oscar for this?
We haven't seen it yet, so
can't say. But, okay. But certainly, he is great in the first one as well as Caesar. So, and apparently, he animates quite a few of the apes as well. And during one scene, there's about 12,000 of them on screen. Obviously,
there's quite a few of the obviously you don't see it in a audio version, but there was some serious CGI monkey business going on. Basically,
that's the entire film, Julian.
CGI monkey business.
So if you haven't seen the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I do believe it's on TV.
It's
on Saturday.
On Saturday at 9 o'clock on Channel 4. Other channels are available.
There you go.
But this film is not on them.
But so if you want to catch up, otherwise you can catch it at Cineworld tonight at 7 o'clock in 3D, 8 o'clock in 3D or 9 o'clock in 2D. And it's on at view 7:30 2D, 8:30 in 3D and 9:15 in 2D. And I'm excited. So, yeah.
We are reasonably excited.
I'm probably more excited.
Sky is more excited than I am. Sky
likes... But then again, I like Transformers, so effects-driven films.
I did not see that film.
We've got a competition attached to the apes.
Yes, Planet of the Apes got some lovely prizes.
A monkey mask?
Not a monkey mask.
It looks like a monkey mask.
I think it's going on the kind of survivalist kind of theme with this movie. I mean, you get a T-shirt, which is looking pretty good. You also get a sleeping bag as well.
Sleeping bag.
A wristwatch, some sort of lenticular picture.
And a also, what?
Lenticular?
I don't know what lenticular means.
It's like a holographic picture that when you move it, it changes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they did some of those for Harry Potter.
They did,
and the Deathly Hallows.
Yes.
I have one in our living room.
You do?
Yes.
Also some kind of, I can't really make it out from the picture, but I think it's probably like a USB or something, but it's in kind of like a vial, a serum vial.
That's really weird. What is that?
You know, in fact, I don't know. But there's a couple of good things in
there. Could be a torch.
Could be. Maybe.
And a mystery prize.
If you want to win a set of this goodies, plus two tickets courtesy of Cineworld.
And the mystery prize that we don't know what it is.
Yeah. So if you want to get it, the question is, what is Andy Serkis's most famous role in Lord of the Rings?
Oh, tough one.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Andy Serkis.
Yes, you do.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
The mocap maestro. Who
Stop
has
it,
played...
Sky. Don't give the game away.
Okay, so Andy Serkis, what is his most famous role?
Which, I'm guessing his most famous role would
in Lord of the Rings.
What, in Sky's opinion, is Andy Serkis' most famous role?
In Lord of the Rings.
In Lord of the Rings. If you have the answer, the text is 07919070490. Drive at cambridge105.fm as well. Full terms and conditions on the website at cambridge105.fm. Sky and Hattie are still here. It is the Entertainment Hour, and we're going to do theatre next.
Yes, we're going to do comedy, actually, which is, you know...
Yeah, not so good, but...
Not great timing.
Sure, the comedy is a good fun.
Yes. So, this is Cambridge Comedy Festival, taking place at Cambridge Junction, which is very exciting. There's lots of fantastic names coming down to Cambridge Junction. A lot are doing pre-Edinburgh shows, so, you know, it's a chance to catch them here now in small and intimate venues for good prices, which is very exciting. So, tonight, we have... at Cambridge Junction, you can catch Nathan Caton in his show Teenage Mutant Nathan Caton. And Arthur Smith sings Leonard Cohen Volume 2. So this is a sequel to his previous show, but I don't think you need to have seen it to enjoy this one.
Oh,
this
no, Leonard Cohen. Do you want me to play some Leonard Cohen next?
There's also Simon Amstel and Josh Widdicombe playing tonight. They are both sold out. If you are super eager to see them, it's worth contacting Cambridge Junction box office for any returns. You can get in touch with them on 01223 511 511 or the website junction.co.uk. But that won't tell you if there's any returns. So give them a ring. They're very nice.
Is it like Wimbledon? You just turn up at backstage and hope that some tickets have been given up.
Well, that happens. doesn't guarantee anything. So you can catch Nathan Caton tonight at 7:30 and Arthur Smith at 9 o'clock. Nathan Caton, up-and-coming comedian, very funny. Still tickets available, so definitely catch it if you're looking for a night of laughter. Tomorrow night, we've got Rich Wilson at 7:30. The Comedy Zone, also at 7:30, which is a comedian showcase with a group of new and up-and-coming artists as well. Tommy Tiernan at 9 o'clock and Jen Brister at 9 o'clock as well. Another great lineup on Saturday with Adam Buxton at 7:30, Angela Barnes at 7:30, The Pajama Men at 9 and Henry Paker also at 9. And Sunday, Ramesh Ranganathan at 7:30, Joe Caulfield at 7:30, Sean Walsh, who's one of my favourites, at 9 o'clock and Sarah Kendall also at 9 o'clock. Sunday morning is the Comedy Club for Kids. That's not in the morning, it's at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's me getting times confused. all tickets are £11, but if you catch two shows in one night, you can do two for 18, so that's two for £18, that is. So two tickets at £9 each, apart from the Comedy Club for Kids, which is £10 for adults and £5 for under 16-year-olds. All the info is available at junction.co.uk or from the Junction box office, 01223 511 511. And it should be a really great week of laughter. It has been so far. Caught some of it last night. Very funny. Mark Watson, who went to the University of Cambridge, was part of Footlights. It's nice to reminisce with him about the ADC Theatre.
Ah, yes.
He got very surprised when I told him that I was 22, and he graduated from Cambridge in 2001. So I think that shocked him slightly. I wasn't even in high school.
Yeah, time is turns. The older you get, the more elasticated time seems to become. Really, that's kind of how it works.
So yes, that's the Cambridge Comedy Festival. You can also check out their website, which is cambridgecomedyfestival.com, for more information. But tickets booked from Cambridge Junction. So yeah, that should be a good
one. That's pretty good. Thank you very much.
No problem. Nice to see you, Julian.
And nice to see you too. Nice to see you, Sky.
Nice to see you, Julian.
Nice to see you, Emma.
Nice to see you too.
Okay. What do we do that for? But more entertainment next week at 6 o'clock. Thanks very much, guys.